Welcome to Adventure Dealflow, the podcast where we talk to founders who are actively fundraising. My name is Laura Lancé, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Diewertje Drekshagen, co-founder of Lyco Medical Devices, a medtech company offering sustainable and reusable medical equipment to improve healthcare accessibility. Based in the Netherlands, Lyco offers a B2B health tech solution that is both cost-effective and environmentally friendly. Diewertje and her company have earned multiple awards, including the Albert Schweitzer Award, and she was recognized as an FD talent in 2024. Welcome, Diewertje.
Thanks for having me. Really nice.
That's great to have you. And yeah, let's explore your journey with Lyco today. First, I want to ask you a little bit about your team, yourself and your co-founders.
Yeah. I'm Diewertje and I studied at the Technical University in Delft. I've always been interested in the medical field, but I faint when I see the slightest drop of blood. So I luckily also love technique. So I studied at the Technical University in Delft mechanical engineering, and decided to do the master biomechanical design. And in my master, I did an internship in a referral hospital in Kenya, where I really saw the problems of disposable equipment, and from there on I decided to graduate at the Surgery for All research group, and there's where we started Lyco. And I'm very happy I've got my co-founder Tom, who is more on the business development, so he studied business and politics in Groningen, got some experience in startups as Studoku and Bloomon, and he after that started working at Friesland Campina, and then luckily founded Lyco with me. And yeah, we've got a great team, a very ambitious team to be working with. I enjoy working with them every day.
How many people do you have now in the team?
So we're with 6 full-time and 3 part-time.
And so what are you exactly doing? What does your product do?
Yeah. So we develop a product, it's a vacuum pump. It's used in the second stage of birth at complicated births. You can improve outcomes for mother and child to sometimes speed up the birth. So you place a cup on the head of a child, pump, and by pumping you create a vacuum due to which the cup temporarily attaches to the head of the child. Mm-hmm. And you can pull along with the contractions of the mother and in that way speed up the delivery. This is not a new procedure. We didn't invent this procedure. It already exists since 1850 or something. But the current pumps are the most used and user and patient friendly pumps are disposable, which leads to a lot of garbage, high impact on the environment, but also low availability in low resource settings. And while there are reusable alternatives, they are either really big, need a stable electricity grid, make a lot of noise, use metal chains, so they're not really patient friendly. There's another really ancient device. So what we actually did is we took the disposable as an example really take the user and patient friendly character of the disposable, but then translated it into a reusable. So a lot of focus on how we could make it easy to sterilize and also safe to reuse.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a good impact on the environment, but it's also cost effective, right? So compared to disposable items.
Exactly, yeah. So for disposable, of course, you need to purchase, for every delivery, you need to purchase a new one.
Yeah.
By making it reusable, we can really lower the cost per use.
Yeah.
We've got a business model which is different for different settings. So we really see that the device, we call it Vela, the device we develop, it's more sustainable. So that is something which we really like in high income countries, and that's a reason to start using our product here in high income countries. But we also really want to make this procedure available in low resource settings, where there are less resources. So we have a different pricing model for these different markets, and for these low resource settings, being able to avoid the cost of transport every time, that also has a big influence on the price per use.
So there's a good business case for the planet and a good business case also for hospitals. So sounds good. And what is your product timeline? So where are you now in product development and launch?
So I think the moment that we started 4 years ago, we thought everyone we spoke to said medical device will take you at least 5 years. And then we were still a bit green and we just started. We thought, how can it take you 5 years? Well, we're working on this device for 3.5 years now. And in a month from now, we're going to production. So up to now, we've done everything with prototypes and validating all the prototypes with all different end users, mostly in the Netherlands, Uganda and Kenya. In 2 weeks we're visiting our manufacturer, and then beginning of April we can start manufacturing. Of course, then we still need to do after manufacturing. We still need to do a lot of tests on safety. Yep. So in December this year we expect the device will be CE certified. So that's according to the European regulations, and then we can really start using and doing our first official sales.
So CE certification end of the year. IP, how is the IP for your product?
So we developed two different technologies, on which we really see that we can request IP. So to make a device reusable, the disposable exists out of 25 to 30 components, depending on which disposable you grab, and you cannot really take it apart. So we reduce it now to 5 components, and in that reduction, we added multiple functionalities to one, combining different techniques. And on two of these techniques, we can we requested a patent. The novelty search came back 1.5 years ago, showing that it's indeed novel. So that's
okay. Okay, so
that's great.
Tick as well. Very good. So what is your overall mission? I mean, you really said it. Okay, you have it's basically twofold.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you see yourself? Very big mission in 5 years. How do you see that?
Yeah, so we really believe that by making reusable and sustainable tools, we can also improve accessibility to healthcare. So we have a double mission in that way. So we want to both save lives and also the planet. Yeah. And if we look at this procedure of vacuum extraction, then you see that there's a case study which has been performed in Uganda, and it shows that an increase of vacuum extraction usage of only 2% led to a decrease of stillbirths of almost a quarter.
Wow,
because of the lack of the suitable equipment there, you see that it's still very limited used. So, based on our sales expectations, we expect that by 2032 we can increase vacuum extraction usage in those low resource settings and really save 500,000 stillbirths. On the other hand, by disposing all these vacuum pumps in this moment of time, we have a huge impact on the environment in these high resource settings. So we did an analysis how much CO2 and waste can we reduce, and if those hospitals switch from the disposable vacuum pumps to our pump, they can reduce 40% CO2 emissions and 98% of waste.
Wow. Great numbers. Sounds absolutely great. So if I understand correctly, you're based in the Netherlands. Your focus now is getting your certification. What other markets are you targeting? Are you looking at?
Yeah, so shortly touched upon it. So we really see that this device can really serve high resource settings, but also low and middle income countries. And that's always a puzzle. Where do we start and how do we expand? Initially, we will really focus on the Netherlands and expand to Belgium and Northern European countries, where we see that sustainability is getting more and more attention. And that's also where we can where we can earn a bit of extra money. On the other hand, we're also exploring the market with mostly wholesale distributors. They sell to big NGOs like UNFPA, WHO, UNICEF, and they have all expressed a lot of interest. There's one of the wholesale distributors which actually gave us a donation to, okay, to finalize the product. But for the first years, we'll really work with these wholesale distributors and give them let them focus on these low middle income countries, such that we can build a distribution network here in these high income countries.
Okay, and the market itself, I mean, what size are we talking about? How big is this market? Yeah. Is it growing?
The world population is still growing, so we still see that there's coming more and more birds every year. This is growing more rapidly in low middle income countries. The market size for vacuum extraction itself is 1.3 billion euros. We do see, but that's really a future mission. We do see the possibility to make Vela at a certain moment in time a multi-purpose product for which you can use it in more maternal and newborn health procedures. Yeah. And then, of course, the market is much
way bigger.
Higher. Yeah, much bigger. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we quickly touched also on your business model, because you have the two streams basically. If we talk about it in that sense, can you show us, of course, you get your certification at the end of the year. What is your traction now? What can you tell about that?
So we did a lot of validation studies with different hospitals, a lot of hospitals in the Netherlands. So the latest validation study we did was with 6 Dutch hospitals. 4 of them have already signed that they want to participate in our paid pilot by the end of this year, and also purchase Vela to join. So we're still in talks with 5 other Dutch hospitals who, we think they will sign that they want to participate as well. On the other hand, of course, the world is bigger than the Netherlands. So we already signed letters of intent with 16 distributors worldwide, most of them based in Europe, Australia, or US. We also see the possibility for those low and middle income countries, where we received really interest from UNFPA, WHO, directly from themselves in a conversation where they really see an added value of Vela. But we're also in far-fetched conversations with these different wholesale distributors who sell to these NGOs.
Yeah. Okay, and in terms of course, you cannot say you don't have a lot of revenue yet yet to show. Yeah. I mean, what is your goal? Where are you working towards?
Yeah. In 2027 we expect to have reached 1 million in revenue in sales. Yeah.
And what would be the division then between high income and low income countries? Is there
There's a big price differentiation for those high income countries and low middle income countries. So by then I think we expect that 75% of our revenue comes from high income countries and around 25% from low and middle income countries.
Okay, clear. Another question that I would have is, do you already foresee a potential exit for your company? I mean, are you already thinking about that?
Yeah, we identified 9 players in this field who we think are potential exit partners, and we already talked to 4 of them. I would say very early conversations in which we didn't share a lot, and they didn't share a lot with us. But yeah, I think we do see potential exit partners and also interest from the field.
Competitors. Who are your main competitors in the field, both in Europe but also globally?
So I think the competitors, if you look at high income countries and low and middle income countries, are totally different. So in these high income countries, we really see that most hospitals use those disposable devices, and there are 2 disposable devices which are mostly used. There's One which is, I would say, the market leader. They are biggest in Europe, but also biggest in the US. And I think their market share is around 70%. And in these low and middle income countries, you do see that they prefer these reusable tools. If they use vacuum extraction, it's often the more ancient reusable tool, which is used by three people or need to be operated by three people. And I think for us, we really aim to combine the best of both worlds. So we make a reusable device, lowering the price per cost, lowering the impact on the environment. But we want to offer the same user and patient friendliness as the disposable.
Okay. Questions about funding. Yeah. So you're currently raising. How much are you raising?
Yeah.
And did you already get some funding?
Yeah.
Can you tell a bit more about that?
Oh. Great question, especially because I think we saw a really big rise in interest. We participated, you're familiar with it, but we participated in the Her Capital Connection competition around two weeks ago. And we got a great ticket of investments. And we really saw, we were already in talks with multiple potential investors, both business angels and venture capital, as strategic partners, but we really saw that sparked an extra interest.
Great.
So that's really nice. And we're in this moment of time, we're raising 2 million. We've got soft commitments for 1.3, and we're still in talks with different stakeholders to close the round. But it's really moving in the right direction. So that's really nice to see.
Yeah, good. And your use of funds, can you specify that a little bit? What will you do with the 2 million?
Definitely. Biggest share of it is going to production and certification. And then also building a more experienced team.
Okay, so the time is now to invest in Lyco. Please go to adventuredealflow.com to hear more about Lyco, Diewertje and other great founders. Thank you for listening to the Adventure Deal Flow podcast and see you at the next great deal.